May I have your attention, please? My name is Son of Yeshua, Sophania Hawkins, and I would like to start serving you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonia Yap Hawkins. I'd like to serve forever as a priest on very soon. It's now a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Ben Aaron to the sanctuary. I'd like to turn to Son Yisrael Ben Barzai Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. If you would be turning over to Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91, verses 3 through 4. It's found on page 470. And it says, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and with his wings will you trust. And the title of my speech today is How to Receive Yahweh's Protection. I know some of you have been, some of you may be thinking that I've given this speech before and you really don't need to listen, but, you know, I just gave this speech again to refresh our memory, and because we are in the Feast of Passover, and we're trying to get the leaven out. So, it says, he will cover us with his feathers, and under his wings will you trust. His truth will be a shield and buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow which flies by day. And there in verse 4, it says, his truth will be your shield and buckler. If you would turn over to Psalms chapter 119, because we need to know what Yahweh's truth is. Psalms chapter 119. In verse 142, it says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness because your law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken us, but your laws are our delight. So, you know, Yahweh's laws, as we see there, Yahweh's laws are our delight. So, as we can see, we will only have Yahweh's protection if we keep his 613 laws. Because Yahweh just won't immediately see us, we're in the world, and he immediately gives us protection. That's not how it goes. We have to keep Yahweh's laws, and then, as a result of us keeping Yahweh's laws, we get the blessing of his protection. Now, if you turn over to... Okay, so Yahweh's laws are perfect. And they are not grievous. If you turn over to Matithiah chapter 5, found on page 731. And it's verses 17 through 20, or 17 to 18. Do not even think that I've come to destroy the laws and the prophets. I have not come to destroy them, but to establish them. For truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth passes away, one yod, the smallest of a letter, will not pass in no way pass from the law until all things are perfected. And skip down to verse 20. It says, for I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of Yahweh. Certainly. It doesn't say... you know, like Pastor said a couple weeks ago, he said, it doesn't say you probably won't enter the kingdom of Yahweh. It says you certainly, without a doubt, won't enter the kingdom of Yahweh. So, you know, it talks about the laws and the prophets there. And in order for us to understand the laws, we must understand who gives the laws. So let's turn over to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, and verse 22. And that's found on page 550. It says, "For Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, Yahweh is our king, and he will save us." So, another scripture pertaining to that is Yaakov, the book of Yaakov, chapter 4. Yaakov, chapter 4. Yaakov, chapter 4, and verse 12. It's found on page 955. It says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to condemn? Who condemns another?" 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. It says, "Yet to us there is only one authority, the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live. And there is but one King, Yahshua, whom we live." And you know, we just celebrated Yahshua's memorial a couple days ago, showing us how Yahshua was a servant. And you know, remember the theme for this feast is we did not come to serve, we came to be served. And Yahshua was that perfect example of service. It says, "On whose account are all things, and on whose account we live." And the last scripture pertaining to that, if you turn over to Matthias chapter 10. Matthias chapter 10. Matthias chapter 10, verse 28. It says, "And do not fear those who can kill the body, but are not able to kill the spirit, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both spirit and body in Gehenna." So, you know, that's showing us there that we should not fear man, but we should fear Yahweh, which, you know, one of the great Khans said that, you know, fearing Yahweh is reverencing him. So, in the 12th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 20, and verse 44, it says, "Yahweh has promised, and you're going to see that if I can get all of this in a lump sum, Yahweh shows us his protection. And it's going to be greater than what Moshe went through in Egypt." So, you know, we should all know the story of Moshe, and you know how when he was coming out of Egypt, Yahweh protected them because, you know, Pharaoh and his army, they chased them out of Egypt. And then there was a struggle to come out of Egypt. It's going to be much greater than what Moshe went through in Egypt and in the coming out of Egypt. The huge armies they had to deal with, it's going to be much greater than that in these last days, because Satan's number one goal is to kill the white buffalo. And as stupid as she is, she thought she did it because her mind has been on the Lord too. In actual fact, Yahweh shows that she's killing herself, and he's even predicting the time of her death and the rate that she's going right now. So, you know, as we see there, as Pastor said, Satan's number one goal is to kill Yahshua Hawkins. And, you know, it's also to stop the work. And a prime example of Yahweh protecting his house was back many years ago when the beastly system tried to come and, you know, come to the house of Yahweh. Yahweh sent many layers of snow to hold them back. And, you know, many of us may still remember that to this day. And in the 13th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "There wouldn't be weapons of war. He would not send people out with swords." He shows that. He shows that very plainly in these last days, that he will give any nation or any people protection if they want to turn from the war raging that's going on among nations. Anyone who wants to turn from that can. And they will, in these last days, have Yahweh's protection. Now salvation has come, Yahweh says, as the great deacon brought out. So, you know, Yahweh's protection only comes from us keeping his laws. And in conclusion, you know, we should keep all Yahweh's 613 laws. And my last quote from Yisrael says, I'm going to have to cut it short here. It says, remember what it says in Colossians. We see this protection that Yahweh gives here. It's a protection that comes only through sanctification. Well, what does sanctification mean? What does it mean to be sanctified? This is in Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. If you would turn over there quickly, Exodus chapter 31 and verse 13. This will show us some ways that Yahweh does sanctify us. Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. It's found on page 71, and it says, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for there is a sign between me and you. There are a sign between me and you. Me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you and makes you holy. So, you know, in conclusion, let's all strive to keep Yahweh's laws and get all that leaven out so we will truly have Yahweh's protection. And with that, if you all please stand. I'll turn it over to Son of Visual Able, Shamil Hawkins.
Okay. Now, we get to hear from Abijah Hawkins. There you go.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Everyone enjoying the great service at this feast? All right. You know, Yahweh has given us an opportunity to serve in his house on the Sabbath day. And this is something we should be looking forward to. Because it's only day of a normal week, unless it's during the feast. It's the only day of a normal week we get to meet with Yahweh and learn the way of life. And the world doesn't offer this, so the quicker we get away from it, the better. Alright, so with the help of a great Khan, I'd like to title this sermon, Attitude of Servitude and Gratitude Will Make Us Steadfast. Attitude of Servitude and Gratitude Will Make Us Steadfast. The reason why is that if we don't serve with this attitude of servitude, we are likely to be defeated. And what I mean is that sometimes we can be overwhelmed with our own problems that we push Yahweh's work aside. And this is when we get defeated. But the only thing that can stop that is this question right here. What value do you place in your position in this great house? How much emphasis do you put on the office that Yahweh has given you in this great house? Okay, and for those who have already left their posts, their positions, they need to reconsider the position, because there's no any other work like this, and there's never going to be any other work like this. Okay, if you can turn over to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 through 5. It says, but let every person carefully test and prove his own work, deeds and conduct, that he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So we hear that we need to test and prove our own works. And this is the foundation for our defense. Now in the book of Zechariah, it talks about the plummet in Zerubbabel's hand. For those who don't know what a plummet is, it's a tool they use. It can be used to measure how straight and upright a wall is or the depth of something. That's a plummet. But the plummet we're talking of in this case right here, the plummet in Zerubbabel's hand, is the publications, sermons, materials coming from the house of Yahweh. And we need to measure up to them. because the plummet is always right. No, we can't walk away from our own problems and hope that they'll be better on their own. We need to, once we measure ourselves up to the plummet and see our faults, we need to fix them then and there. We don't wait until the problem gets worse. Okay, verse 5 says, "For each one must carry the load that has to be carried." No, this is not a one-man operation. Each one depends on another. So this word servitude comes from the word slave, and it means a condition in which one lacks liberty, especially to determine one course of action and way of life. So we see here that no one can force you to do righteousness. Servitude in Yahweh's house is voluntarily. To prove that, in the 12th book of Israel, right here, see, Pastor says, becoming servants, well, that's Yahweh's way, and it's all volunteer. He doesn't force anyone. He wants a kingdom that will absolutely voluntarily uphold his house, keep his laws, live by them strictly, all volunteer. He doesn't force you at all. So we see, as in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, it says, choose life, or choose death. You have to make a choice. You know, one of the duties of this last day's house of Yahweh is to inform the people so that they can make rational decisions. And we offer the truth, as Pastor said, but the people have to voluntarily choose to incorporate the truth in their decision making. Okay. Back to this topic right here. Sometimes in workplaces, it gets to a point where you don't want to work with your coworker or even your supervisor. But when these feelings arise, you need to remember this. First Kefa. So on page 958, First Kefa chapter 2 and verse 18. And says, "Servants, be subject to your rulers with all fear, not only to the kind and gentle, but also to the harsh." Okay, so we see here, I have a question. If you walk away from a harsh supervisor, are you justified? Are you justified? No, you're not. Okay, verse 19 says, "For it's commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of Yahweh." No, we need to be conscious of Yahweh. Know that Yahweh can see everything that's going on. No, if we discipline ourselves to serve others, the problems that usually arise will become minimal. Okay, back to the question I asked earlier. Where does the work of Yahweh rank in your priority? Now, from what we've heard, it should be at the top. Okay, book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 3, page 888. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12 through 13. It says, "If any man builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with the fire. The fire will test the quality of each man's work." You know, these fires are the tests. Fires are the tests. So, what are we willing to go through to complete Yahweh's work? We must be willing to go to an extent that we're confident that our works are going to make it through the tests, the fire. Okay, so you need to make sure that once you do it, it's right, because the fire is going to test it. And if this is the case, we ought not to leave a problem undone or unchecked. We need to address it then and there. Turn over back to 2 Kefa. It Second Kefer chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, as his holy power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and holiness, through the full knowledge of him who has called us to glory and to virtue. So we see virtue, side note D, it says, a conformity to the standard of righteousness, morality, particular moral excellence. So we even have a manual called that, Building Moral Excellence from the Peace of Solution. And if you look at the list of the positive character traits, being humble is one of them. Humility is one of them. We need to be humble to develop an attitude of servitude. And this attitude is going to be needed all through the feast and forevermore. So during this feast, whenever you're asked to lend a helping hand to do anything, please help. And this is when we start serving each other with this attitude, we're going to see the blessings of Yahweh start coming away. And that's all I had for you. You can please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, fellow saints. Y'all may be seated. My lesson today will be on, I did not come here to serve, but I did not come here to be served, but to serve. And so I was thinking about serve. I looked up the word serve, and this word 5647 in Strong's, and the word means serve, to cultivate, to enslave, and to work. Like the previous speaker just said here, let's lend a hand to help out the work and continue to get into the work. But the word that caught my eye the most was cultivate. So I decided to look up cultivate. I went to dictionary.com, and I looked up the word cultivate. And it means to prepare and to work in order to raise crops, till, and then also it says to promote or to improve the growth of, by labor and by attention. And it says to develop or to improve by education. And I thought that was very interesting because it said to improve by education. And that seemed, and that's the one thing that Yahweh seemed to have throughout his whole prophecies and so forth, is to educate those he has called out. The same way he called out each one of us in these last days, he did it before with our forefathers through education. And it's quite coincidental that in these last days, he's using the same method, the same exact method, but he's using a little different. He's using one called People Solution Character Education Program. And the word cultivate is very interesting because it means you need someone who understands the land and the soil, how to take care of the soil, someone to know when to break it up and how to break it up and to turn it over, to plant the seeds at the right time, to give it water when it needed, to let it rest when it needed. And it's very interesting that he chose a young farmer, Buffalo Bill Hawkins. Not only that was that, he also had an opportunity to work with animals. He even had the opportunity to work with donkeys. And that's very interesting too, because I looked that up on mikesdonkeyeye.com UK. And it says, let's see here. It said donkey characteristics. And one of the donkey's characteristics, it said, training the donkey relies upon showing him or her by words, actions, that they can trust you. By words and actions, that they can trust you. Now, who in these last days is showing us by words and actions that we can trust him? Israel Hawkins. And not only that, our king and high priest Yahshua Messiah said that he gave him a bunch of donkeys to help him to do this. So in turn, he's teaching these donkeys how to serve. And how is he doing that? By cultivating our minds and our hearts. And what is he using to cultivate our minds and heart? People's Solution Character Education Program. He's teaching and training us how to till our own fields, our own mind, the way we think, the way we perceive one another, the way we interact with one another. We never had that training before. I've been a city boy my whole life. Wouldn't know what a plow was. I come here and what I'm learning to be. A farmer. Someone who to take care of animals. An animal needs a lot of attention. I need a lot of attention. So, you know what that says. So when I seen the word cultivate for serve, I said like, wow. And then it said till. I said, wow. So when the great teacher started tilling my mind, he ran into a lot of rocks. I mean, them donkeys got stopped many a time because I had boulders. Now, wasn't no tractors back then. You had to use your hands and use work. The key word is work and labor. And let's keep that in mind, because that's the theme of this feast this way, is to work. And like it says in 2 Philippians, page 922, verse 2, it says, complete my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being united in one accord and one mind. One accord and one mind. The one accord is serve. Not to be served. To serve one another. To be in unity with one another. Because remember, we are them donkeys. And one of the characteristics of a donkey is that once a donkey is trained and know that it can trust its master, it's loyal. It's not going nowhere. So let's keep that in mind, great brothers and sisters, and let's have a beautiful feast. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. Deacon Yael.
Shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is To Become Like Yahweh, We Must Develop the Attitude of Servitude. And I know we all aware today on the theme of this feast, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. And this is something that our pastor and overseer, Yisrael Hawkins, has been teaching us for many years now. And it's something that brings peace. This attitude of servitude, it brings peace, it brings joy. And he's been guiding us in this way for years, and it is a must to obtain the character of Yahweh that we learn this. It's very important that we obtain this character to fulfill our positions that Yahweh is waiting to give us. And I like to start at the beginning. If you have your books of Yahweh, you can turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Very familiar scripture here in the house of Yahweh. It speaks of the plan of Yahweh. It says, then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness. They will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So Yahweh is making us in his image. And part of that image is becoming a servant. And Yahweh set the example from the very beginning, starting on the Sabbath day. He began on the Sabbath day. I'd like you to turn over just one more page to Genesis chapter 2. Because Yahweh is the greatest servant, and he set this example for us. In Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, Yahweh ended the work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then Yahweh blessed the seventh day and set it apart to be holy, because in it he rested from all the work which Yahweh had created and made. Yes, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath, and he blessed it by being a servant to mankind, by being a servant to his creation. He gave us the spiritual food. He taught us his 613 laws of peace, which will forever bring us life and joy and abundant living. And he also gave us the physical food. He gave us everything that we needed in order to sustain life, in order to survive. So he set this example by serving us. He's still serving us to this day. None of his creation would not survive if Yahweh wasn't being a servant, if he wasn't serving us. None of us could make it. And we see just the opposite in today's world. We don't see this character of service. We see this me, myself, and I attitude that our overseer spoke on just a few days ago, the 666. This attitude carries 666. The leaders of the nations today, they haven't been educated in the ways of peace. They haven't been taught how to be servants to one another. So they're fighting wars. They're trying to take advantage of one another. They're stealing land, oil, and anything they can. They're destroying the planet with their attitude of selfishness. And it would soon bring nuclear destruction and could possibly end all life if Yahweh didn't have it in his plan to intervene so that we can do our work and begin to take over and show them the right and correct way. The nations today, they're not following Yahweh. They're not following the example that he set in the very beginning. They're following the original sons of Yahweh. They're following, and I'd like for you to turn, if you have your books of Yahweh, to Psalms 82. Because Yahweh gives us an example here of who the nations today, being led by the Vatican, are following. And their character, there's a difference between Yahweh's character of service and the character of these gods that many of mankind today is following. If you have your books of Yahweh, it's Psalms 82 on page 467. It says, Yahweh, starting at verse 1, it says, Yahweh stands in the assembly of the gods and gives judgment among them. Yes, Yahweh is counseling the gods. Yahweh himself is not a god. He is our heavenly Father, a loving creator. He's not a god. Yahweh says, verse 2, How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to sinners? You should defend the weak and the fatherless. You should maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. See this attitude that Yahweh is trying to show them? He's telling them you should be servants to those you are leading instead of oppressing them. Look down at verse 5. It says, you know nothing, you understand nothing. You walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are shaken because of you. Yes, this way is bringing destruction. If the nations were being served today, they would be being taught the laws of peace. They would be being taught Yahweh's laws. They wouldn't be suffering. We wouldn't be see all the sickness and the diseases that are taking place at this time. Very quickly, I like to turn over because Yahshua is the perfect example on here on earth. He followed Yahweh's example perfectly. And we just celebrated his memorial a few days ago. He served the people. He took care of the people. He taught. He healed those who were sick. And in Luke chapter 22, real quickly, he tried to display this to his disciples. Luke 22, verse 24, it says, now they also developed a controversy among them about which would be the accounted as the greatest. So he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise rulership over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. He says, but this must not be so among you, for he who is greatest among you, let him be as the youngest, and let he who is first be like he who serves. See that character that Yahshua was displaying to them, that we must become servants because Yahshua knew this was necessary. He knew it was a necessary thing to become a servant, to bring peace, not like those of this world. And Israel Hawkins is, Yahshua's not here on earth today. He sits at the right hand of our creator Yahweh, but there is a man here on earth today, our overseer Israel Hawkins, who is working with him. If you remember the prophecies in Zechariah chapter 6, the branch who works with Yahshua and teaching and guiding us. And we should be following this example, brothers. We should be obeying the words of our overseer who is a servant to us. And he's encouraging us to come out of this world to be servants. And he's leading by example. He's spending every waking moment that he possibly can in his studies. And he's encouraging us to do the same thing, to come out of this world and study and be a servant to others so we can prepare to serve others, about 2 billion people. And for my closing scripture, I'd like to turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 at verse 13. And Yahweh says, if you would turn away your foot from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure, notice, your own pleasure, serving yourself, don't do this. It's doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh honorable. And will honor him by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor engaging in idle conversation. Then you will find your joy in Yahweh. Notice that serving, not doing your own pleasure. When you serve others, starting on the Sabbath, as Yahweh did, coming before Yahweh on the Sabbath and learning, you will find true joy. And there's no better joy, brethren, than serving one another. And I've learned that when I came here at Yahweh's great house. And I'd like to encourage you to continue to strive to develop this attitude of servitude. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker. Mariah Hawkins.
Shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with all of you. The title of my speech today is An Attitude of Servitude and How We're Supposed to Serve. When I first got to the house of Yahweh, I didn't have that particular servitude attitude. I didn't know how to do it. But as I went on, I started to learn, prosper. I started to grow. And just like the brother said, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, if you turn your foot away from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasures, your own business, your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh, honorable, and will honor him by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, or engaging in idle conversation. Now, as I was reading this, I was going over certain things, and it led me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 9 through 13. And as it read, and going on from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. Then he asked him, saying, then they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Now, Yahshua knew that, you know, they was trying to trap him. They was trying to find some way to accuse him. But he also knew the scriptures of Yahweh and prophecies. So he asked them, what man is there among you having one sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hands on it and pull it out? And how much more valuable is a man? How much more valuable is a man? Therefore, it is lawful to do righteousness on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as sound as it was before. It is lawful on the Sabbath day to do righteous work, Yahweh's work. Just the other day, Seder meal, I really found out how it was and how it felt to serve. As we was cleaning up, it was hustle and bustle. Everything was going a certain way. I wasn't prepared to do the work that I was doing because first thing I thought about was going home and going to sleep. I was full. I wanted to go to sleep. But Pastor, he kind of like threw a twist in there. He said, all right, men, get out the sanctuary so the women can come in and clean up. So I'm like, you know, I seen the little bubble up in the sky. I'm laid back. I'm finna, you know, go home and just read the book that I just purchased from the South office and probably get some sleep. But then he twisted. He said, all right, man, the women finna go and the man is going to clean up. And I looked at all this stuff that was on the table. I looked at all. I'm like, man. But I got into it. We start going. We start moving. We was doing it. I looked and I seen a deacon with his young son. His son had to be at least 1 year old. And he was encouraging his son to help him with the chair. And he was taking the chairs to where they was being stacked. And I said, I really looked and I said, man, he's really teaching his son how to be a servant in the house of Yahweh. And then it came to me that not only was he teaching his son, the deacon's dad had to teach him how to teach his son to be a servant in the house of Yahweh. So this teaching has been going on from generation to generation. And then that took me to Proverbs chapter, I think it's 23, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, as I look, all these young men in the house of Yahweh, I ain't never seen them slacking. I ain't never seen them sitting down. I ain't never seen them stand around talking. All I see them do is put in the work of Yahweh. That's it. That's all I have ever seen these young men do. Whether it's school, whether it's training, whether it's cutting grass, whether it's raking leaves, whether it's putting electrician. It's 15-year-old electricians at the house of Yahweh. I ain't never seen nothing like that before. Never. And they get up here and speak, and it blows my mind. Yahweh has really blessed these young men. And if I could, I would like to remain in this place forever. All I would like to say is that I would like to thank the head, Pastor Yisrael Hawkins, because right now I'm the little toe on the foot attached to the body of the priest with my head, Pastor Yisrael Hawkins. And with that, I would like to turn it over to Deacon Ishaya. Praise Yahweh.
Please be seated. It's an honor and privilege to be amongst the saints of Yahweh, great house of Yahweh. Yahweh bless your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're all going over the theme of we did not come to serve. We did not come to be served. We came here to serve. Now, the title of it is Selfishness Hurts. Selfishlessness heals. Now, let's all go to, if we could, let's all go to Mark. Mark 4:19. But the cares, anxieties, and distractions of this world, or the deceitful lie, Follywood, deceitfulness, trickery, attractiveness of riches, or the less of the other things begin to creep in and choke the word, the law and the prophets, and then it becomes the main word, unfruitful, creep in and choke. Through as I go on, think of those words. Now, the cares and anxieties of this world and distractions, there's so many of them. If you look in the, which I encourage all to, if you don't have the book, please get it and read it. Building Moral Excellence, Character Unit, Teachers Unit. On the Roman numeral 13, third paragraph, it states,
The television, radio, and parents who are uneducated in the ways of peace have already had a lot of influence on your students. Today's youth experience aggression, hatred, and violence on a daily basis. You must also contend with a mindset geared towards entertainment, excitement, and enterprise, which should be a secondary but have been overvalued for 100 years or more.
Where am I going with this? Serving yourself and not others is selfishness, and it takes away your time. It wastes your time. As the great overseers made mentioning of, it kills your time. In mankind, we have a short amount already. Now, Romans 6:16, we're already going through it, but who do you obey? Who have you put your time to? What has been your fruits of your hands? What have you done? If you put all your attention to the cares of this world, which should be cartoons, Follywood, movies, video games, these are all things that are serving yourself. And it's not really beneficial. Unbelievers or people that might say out there that it's only fun. I'm not hurting anybody. It's only myself. Well, if you look where it's written in Romans 1, and look what it actually does to ourselves. Romans 1:28. Paraphrasing it, not able to retain Yahweh in their knowledge. We're not able to understand. Reprobate mind, all the way down in that footnote, if you notice, a mind void of righteous judgment. We're not able to reason, discern between what's right and what's wrong, what's beneficial and what's not. Who am I serving, others or myself? And look what it does to our head. To our mind, it actually, as we go down to 31, 30, disobedient to parents. When you're doing this, bowing down to it or facing a tube, and your parent or the one that guides you is trying to get you to serve and help them, you may not hear them, and you may say things you don't mean because your focus is on serving yourself. You may not notice it because you are in the box. But when you get out of the box, and learn that attitude of servitude, an attitude of servitude has no comparison to the cares of this world. It's priceless. To put your hand out to the plow, ask around, what can you do? Young ones, ask your supervisors, your mother and father, what can I do? You'll find something, and then you'll learn. Similitudes, similarities, likes and dislikes in your fellow worker, and then a unity starts to form. And that's where you'll start to learn and benefit not only yourself, but someone else. By what? By your example. So I encourage all, put your hands to the plow. Let your mouth be, what can I do? And help others. Because there will be mistakes. Surely there will be mistakes. But through time, you'll learn the attitude of servitude to others is more important than ourselves. With that, I'd like to bring it to now the great brother. Would you please stand? I'd like to bring it now to the great brother, Micaiah Hawkins.
Shalom, great family of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is War is a Racket. And my purpose is to prove that war is a dishonest, illegitimate business. It's the way of the gods. It's self-serving. And we have come to serve. We've come to serve the nations. I'd like to show the definition of the word racket. War is a racket. And I'd like to show the definition of a racket. It says here, a confused, clattering noise reminds me of Psalms 91, verse 3. It's a fraudulent scheme or enterprise or activity, an illegitimate enterprise made workable by bribery or intimidation. Sounds like bullying. It's an easy, lucrative means of livelihood. Weeds grow on their own. An occupation or a business. And if that's not easy enough for you, the child's definition here, it's a loud, confused noise, a dishonest scheme for obtaining money. War is a Racket is a speech given by Major General Smedley Butler. Major General Smedley Butler. And General Smedley Butler, General Butler served during World War I. He is America's most decorated soldier. In the history of the beast system, he is America's most decorated soldier. And I'd like to read a few quotes of his words, his testimonies that he gave against the system. While doing it, if you'll turn over to Yacob 4:1. He says, I spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service. And during that period, I spent most of my life as a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street, and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. He says, looking back on it, I might have given Al Capone a few hints. The best he could do is operate his racket in 3 districts. I operated on 3 continents. He goes on to say, one of his quotes in his speech, he goes on to say, war is a racket, it always has been. It's possibly the oldest, easily most profitable, surely the most vicious. It's the only one international in scope, and it's the only one in which profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. And we go over to Yacob 4 and verse 1, and this is a well-known scripture, but we need to read it and really understand here. It says, what causes war and fighting among you? Is it not from this, from the lust that battle in your members? We need to know who these members are, because this is our calling. We're called to bring an end to these wars and to this fighting. It was this purpose that we came into the world, to serve up peace, to become servants to the nation, to serve up peace to the nations. It says, look at the cost, the cause, the lust that battle in your members, their greed and the lust, their self-serving attitudes of the gods. Major General Butler says, the most decorated soldier in American history, it's their executives. These are their members, their bankers, all their generals, their politicians, their admirals, their kings, their government members, the members of their secret societies. These are the members that are driven by their greed and lust, driven to war. The dishonest, illegitimate business of war, where profits are up to 2,000% or even more, even greater. They're wars of land wars, water wars, sand wars. Yes, Google sand wars. Cyber wars, food wars, financial wars, and wars of attrition. Wars of attrition where the other nation doesn't have a weapon to fight with, so they starve them out. I remember someone in the Peace Solution class asking, do we need to see these things? He asked the teacher. And the answer is yes. We are the witnessing group of Yisrael Hawkins, that witnessing body of Yisrael Hawkins. And the reason we need to see it is so we take back into our mind and our heart the seriousness of our calling. If we don't see it, we won't practice it. Well, yes, they will, and it is necessary to see it. All the pictures that the great Kahan brought in the news a few weeks back of the bloody bodies, and when I was motivated and inspired to begin this speech, when I looked and saw the little boy eating from the trash dump. And now we face all-out nuclear war. If you would please be turning over to Leviticus 18:21, page 97. And it reads, "You shall not give any of your children to be passed through the fire to sacrifice them to Molech. You shall not profane the name of Yahweh by giving your children to the gods." This is a law. This is a law. This is prohibitive law number 7. And this is what they're about to do. But they did it anyway. And this is how they spend their gain and increase. As Isaiah said, they prepared their children for slaughter. And it's Yahweh's will that none should perish. And this is what Yahweh says concerning us, great house of what Yahweh. Please turn quickly for my closing scripture to Yahiel 3. And we'll look at verses 15 and 16 on page 694. And it says, it reads, "The sun and the moon will be darkened, and the stars will withdraw their shining. Yahweh will also roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but Yahweh will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel, the strength of the nations." War is a sign of failure. Remember, we have come to serve peace to the nations. War is a sign of failure. It's an illegitimate business, a racket. And I, for one, and I know you'll all agree, great house of Yahweh, because Yahweh is one, believe that it's time that all nations start making an honest living and beat their swords into plowshares. And with that, Yahweh bless your understanding. And if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, the great brother, Ya'aden Hawkins.
Shalom, great house of Yahweh. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us. You know, every speaker that's come out here, I'm sure, has said how great an honor it is to be able to speak before the great called out ones of the house of Yahweh. But how many of them told you it is also terrifying? I want you to know that. You know, I had on my mind, I'm a real self-confident person. I had in my mind what I was going to do, how I was going to come out, that I was going to imitate Pastor. I was going to get over here and run in place and come out. So as soon as I got over there, my lungs stopped working. So I'm praying that I get that function back before my speech ends. If not, be ready to catch me over there. We're continuing with the theme of I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. The title of my speech is, "Who, me? A servant?" Be turning over to Exodus 19, on page 60 of your book of Yahweh with me. And let's start there. I'm going to ask a question before I read, though. How many of us, before Yahweh drew us and directed us to this house to be taught and trained by pastor, actually had the desire to become a servant? Nobody? Greg Hunt? Nobody? Well, not me. Definitely not me. That's not what we were taught in the world. That's not what the cartoons taught us. That's not what they taught us at school. We're taught, you know, to seek to be the big shot. You want to be the boss. You want to be the shot caller. You want to be the one that everybody knows your name. Everybody does things for you. That's what we're taught in the world. You know, it teaches that we're supposed to be served. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter if you grew up in the richest family in your town or if your mother was on welfare and fed you with food stamps. You were taught that you were special, that you were smart, and you were above others in some type of way. You know, and then we were called out. Yahweh opened our mind just enough to direct us to the house of Yahweh and to the pastor's teachings. And then we automatically became so humble we wanted to be servants to everybody all over in the universe for eternity, right? No, it wasn't automatic. We're still not almost there, you know. And with that in mind, let's read Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. "Now, therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." See, we're special. See, I was called out, and Yahweh said I was special. Then he also said that, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Never mind all that other stuff about I'm supposed to obey and follow and do that. I was called out because I was special. That's what the world taught me, you know? And thinking about that, let's turn over to page 958 and read in 1 Kefa chapter 2. 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, you also as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house, the house of Yahweh, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah. And look at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know, all these things I pull out and see that they justify, confirm what I thought, you know. No matter all the, you know, the hell I raised the 35 years before I ever even heard the name of Yahweh, all the destruction, all the things I were a part of, I got called out because I was special. Yeah, that's what I tell myself. And then I come, make it to the house of Yahweh. We hear the teachings. We start becoming involved in the work. Then you get corrected by a 10-year-old. You know, you're corrected by an 8-year-old. And you start realizing, you know, maybe it's a little more to this thing, you know. How many people remember what Pastor has taught us about the word priest and different meanings of it? Remember one of the meanings he taught us of a priest is a minister. Priest minister to the needs of the people. That's one of the jobs and the definition of a priest. You know, in the Tenth Book of Yahweh, chapter 21, verse 41, Pastor says, the ministers of the house of Yahweh, speaking of the priests, the ministers of the house of Yahweh minister to the needs of the people, and that's what a minister is. Webster's Dictionary defines minister as to give aid or service. So priest means to minister. Minister means to serve. And we know in Genesis 1:26, if we can get there real quick, the whole prophecy of the house of Yahweh and mankind is there. And I'll just paraphrase, you know, we were created becoming like Yahweh. We created in his image, his character. But what is Yahweh? Yahweh is the greatest servant in the universe, right? Is that what we're being taught? Okay, well, with these things in mind, let's end and get close to ending by reading chapter 19 in Exodus again, verse 5. Now, therefore, and this time, we're going to pay attention to all the words, not just the special and above. Now, therefore, if you will truly obey my voice, we all know who the voice is, right? Pastor, yours are Hawkins. So this is saying, if we obey Pastor by keeping the covenant, which is if we obey, we have right to the tree of life, by following his teachings, then we shall be a special treasure to Yahweh above all people. For all the earth is mine, says Yahweh. And you shall be to me a kingdom of servants, according to what we learned of the definitions right there. We shall become a kingdom of servants and a holy nation. That is what we are supposed to be. That is what we're being trained to do. That's what this whole thing is about. And the answer to my title when I asked in the beginning was, who, me, a servant? Well, I surely hope so, because if it's going to be a kingdom of servants and I'm not a servant, then that means I'm kind of in trouble. I won't be there. So let's strive, brothers. Let's strive to become the servants that Yahweh created us to become. And with that, I want to say, even though I thank Pastor Israel Hawkins for the opportunity to speak to you, brothers, today, to this great house, and even though I did not come here to be served, I praise Yahweh for each and every one of you, because from the first day I stepped on these grounds, you've been serving me with all your heart. Thank you. May Yahweh bless you. And I'd like to introduce the next speaker. Deacon Manny Hawkins.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. This is a fantastic theme for a feast. I come to serve and not to be served. You know, that's this era's job forever. You know, and when we get to thinking about that, you know, we got so much to look forward to and everything like that when we come to serve and not be served. Now, what starts this to diminish in our lives, though? Okay? What starts this to diminish in our life? Let's just rehearse this real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8. Okay? Let's just go ahead and just look at this really quick. Deuteronomy 12, verse 8. It says, "You must not at all do as we are doing here this day, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes." We must think law. Every decision must be in line with every aspect of this house. Not following an instruction strictly can mess things up down the line that we are unaware of. Okay? Get that in our mind. We gotta think law. But what must we develop in our life to be a success at being a servant? Anybody can take a guess at that? What was that? Okay. Everybody look at your monitors, okay? Does everybody remember what that is? That's right, look. That's right. Okay. 14th book of Israel, part 2, the special presentation part. Okay? Let's go into this. Let's get right in it. It says, verse 16. Now this Hebrew word, shashak, in it, for instance, it's translated love in your Bible. Now this is the kind of love when one wants to cling to another. Thinking about serving here, okay? Start to develop this love for one another. I vouch for this myself, okay? Start this, all right? It takes place when you delight in being around another person. You just take delight just in that. This is shashak. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. That's right. Verse 17, okay? It wants to share things. The individual wants to share what he has with someone else. This is shoshak. I'm messing that up, sorry. But you know what I'm talking about. And translate love, of course, in your Bible. That's true love. And this love grows. It grows between sister and brother, brother and sister, supervisors. So it grows to the point to where you just want to be around that person. It can be between man and wife. It can be between man and man, man and his friend, or a woman and her friend. It has nothing to do with sex or emotions. That's right. It completely overrules emotion and sexual feelings and things like this, okay? But this is love. This is the shashak that Yahweh has for you. Get this, okay? This is the type of love that Yahweh has for us. For each individual, and he has this for you before you were ever born. Before he even was in this building right here, he had this for you, okay? He had that for you. This doesn't disappear because you have this kind of love. Now, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2 really quick here, okay? It says, verse 2 says, "Complete my joy by being like-minded and having the same shashak in one accord of mind. Let nothing be done by the way of strife or empty glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself." Verse 4, let's look at this. "Every one of you look out not only for your own interests, but also the interests of others." Okay, now I want to go to Colossians really quick. Colossians 3. Now let's go ahead and skip that right quick. Let's skip that. Don't go to Colossians. Go to Yochanan 13:35. Okay, 13:35. "By this we all know that you are my disciples, by the shashak you have for one another." This love that we're supposed to develop that helps us to be servants to one another. Not only servants to one another, but also servants to the people who are in the galaxies. And that's what it's all about. Being able to bring these people in, bring them in, and love them by serving them. And that's what this is all about, okay? So I want you to really keep that in mind and everything like that, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to fulfill this scripture right here that we're talking about, which is the theme for this feast. I come to serve and not be served. Okay? And with that, if you guys will all please stand. Praise Yahweh. I would like to turn it over to the great Deacon Azaria Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May Yahweh's face shine upon each and every one of you, and may his peace forever be with you. You may be seated. The title of my sermon is, Yahweh is making it clear who he has chosen, crystal clear who he has chosen in these last days. And to prove this, he has something very, very special and remarkable to share with his called out ones. Could you play the first slide, please? Show the first slide. I want to start off by reading something out of the third book of Israel, chapter 11, verse 72. It states, seal means a stamp with a private mark. That mark is mine, meaning pastors. I'm not trying to blow my horn. If I could, brethren, I'll crawl into a hole and you wouldn't even see my face. I know unless you realize and understand this, you're not going to be mine. I'm not going to seal you. And no one else will, because no one else is appointed for this time period. I'm it, meaning pastor is it. Praise Yahweh. Since this statement has been made, we have seen a beloved face in a wave, in space, on the moon, and so forth and so on. And what I have to show you today is actually a picture of pastor's face in the city of Abilene. Can you show the next slide, please? What you see here is basically a loop that surrounds Abilene. And in this loop is basically an image of pastor's face. I'm going to prove it to you. Can you show the next slide, please? Do you all see what I see? Do you see pastor's face up there? Does that highway shows the image and outline of pastor's mouth, nose, glasses, head? That's our head up there. That's my head. So I want to move on to the numbers that actually makes up pastor's face. It's highway 322. 322 in the Greeks and Strong's means I show forth, show clearly, remember the sermons that Great Kahan brought on how Yahweh is going to make it crystal clear who Yahweh is working with, who he has chosen. It goes on to say, I proclaim, I appoint. I proclaim a person's appointment to an office. So we need to keep that in mind, that it's Yahweh who has appointed pastors, the Kahanas, the deacons, the deaconess. So we need to keep that in mind when we want to disobey, backbite, and murmur against an office or work. We do it unto Yahweh, whether we realize it or not. Moving on to Thayer's Greek lexicon about Highway 322, or that number 322. It basically states, to lift up anything on high. Yeah, like pastor's face on a highway. It basically goes on to say, to exhibit it for all to behold, hence to show accurately, clearly, to disclose what was hidden, show which of these thou hast chosen. To proclaim anyone as elected to an office, to announce as appointed king, general, and messenger. 322, the definition of that means messenger. That's what makes up pastor's face. So, who has Yahweh appointed and chosen? Is it the messenger Yisrael Hawkins or the Pope? Who is it? Is it the house of Yahweh or the Vatican patterned after the Nimrod system? Thank you. Now that we have that established, let's see what pastor is actually looking at. Could you show the next slide, please? So here you see pastor looking at a city, a town called Nimrod. Not just a town, it's also a church called Nimrod, the Church of Nimrod, as you can see. All right, so although this Nimrod system was set up to slander him imprison him, try to kill him, give him a $10 million bond. He's smiling. He's rejoicing. Looking at this Nimrod system. From on high, from the promotion of the house of Yahweh. All right, so now back to the church of Nimrod in the town of Nimrod. It's on road 138, which according to the Strong's Greek accordions means to take, choose, prefer. The Greek middle voice emphasizes the self-interest of the one preferring. Do you get that? Self-interest? Me, myself, and I, 666, as Pastor was just speaking on. So it doesn't sound like they are preferring to serve others in righteousness. So what are they preferring to take or choose? Road 138, where the Church of Nimrod is located, is off of Farm Road 569. 569 in the Greek means to disbelieve, be unfaithful. So they of this Nimrod system choose to disbelieve and be unfaithful. Moving on down, we see they refuse to be persuaded, which actually means more than disbelief because it indicates refusing to be faithful in honoring of a revelation from Yahweh. So if we refuse to be persuaded by this great storehouse of evidence being passed on to us Sabbath after Sabbath, of the numbers, the coincidences of the revelations, we are this Nimrod system. It even goes further and states that 569 means refuse to be persuaded is sin committed by believers. That's the definition of 569. Our so-called believers, if you ask me, and they could be feasting amongst us. You never know. It goes on to state 569 reveals a person is unconvinced when they should be persuaded by what Yahweh has done or what he has offered us. Okay, let's move on to what Wikipedia says in the next slide about Nimrod, Texas. Can we show that slide? Nimrod, Texas. Move on. Nimrod is an unincorporated community in Eastland County in the U.S. state of Texas. It is located on Farm Road 569 and was originally settled in 1876. So keep that in mind, what we learned about 569 and how they have chosen to disbelieve because it is necessary. So 576, when this town was settled, comes from the Greek and means necessary, this Nimrod system. Necessary, of necessity, and it even moves down and says fitting. Keep that word fitting in your mind. We're going to come back to it. But for now, I want to read something from the Axe Israel Hawkins program. It basically states that at the age of 33, Israel moved to Abilene, Texas, where Yahweh would lead him to establish the house of Yahweh in 1983. It was at this time that he completely devoted himself to the preaching and publishing of the message of salvation. So we already learned that 876 is when the town of Nimrod was settled, which means necessary and had the words fitting tied to it, and 569, which is on the road the Nimrod church is actually on, meaning refusing to be persuaded, unfaithful, disbelief, and so forth, which is all in Yahweh's plan. So even the Nimrod system is necessary, suitable, and fitting to fulfill Yahweh's plan. Now we can move on to 1983, when the house of Yahweh was established. In the Greek, it means to look upon, to care for, just like the character of the messenger, the one sent, who is not about self-interest like the Nimrod system, but coming to serve, not to be served, like we all should be. Moving on down, we see this word again, fitting. What's the odds of fitting being tied to when the Nimrod system was established and when the house of Yahweh was established? I tried to pull it up with other numbers. I couldn't get fitting in those numbers. It only was tied to when this town of Nimrod, which represents this Nimrod system, was established and the house of Yahweh was established, which I thought was very interesting. All right, let's finish reading about the character of the Beloved. It goes on to state, look intently, properly focus on, look at with real carry interest, looking with fitting concern, the total opposite of what the Nimrod system and the numbers are tied to. Now, if we go on to the Greek, in 1983 means to look upon, inspect, oversee. Is not Israel Hawkins the overseer of the house of Yahweh? Yes, he is. House of Yahweh. It goes on to state, look after, care for, spoken of, care of the house which represents, which rests upon the priests, which we know they are talking about the house of Yahweh and its true believers. Isn't that all amazing? Is that not amazing? All of these numbers and the revelations that's in them? So I don't understand why should some continue to be not persuaded by this information about the numbers that the great Kahans bring out often? Because it is fitting, just like it is fitting for the kingdom to be taken by force by evil men to sacrifice Yeshua Messiah, just like it's fitting to allow man to sin to see what it will bring and give them an opportunity to live by righteous laws and peace. The next slide, the mark of the beast slide, we see how the number 666 could identify Nimrod, who started this Babylonian system. Later, the Catholic Pope, who was the successor of Nimrod, also has the number 666. So we see that the Pope represents this Nimrod system, and now we will see that Abel, which is Pastor Israel Hawkins, in these last days, who has a city called Abilene, named after him, with Pastor's head carved in it by highways representing the work of Yahweh. Reading from the fourth book of Israel, it states, the first saint was before Nimrod. It was Abel, who was a preacher who offered sacrifices. There was a righteous man named Abel, who was the first righteous man on earth. From his name, you get the word Abilene. Abilene is the place where Yahweh has also started his last work. In Abilene, Israel, are the ruins of an ancient temple where Abel was raised and taught. He taught the people there and offered sacrifices to Yahweh. They named that place Abilene. That's all the time I have. If you all will stand. I'd like to turn the service over to the deacon and the knight.
Shalom. Y'all can be seated. Okay. All right. So, and continuing with the theme for feast, I would also like to speak on servitude. And the title of my speech today is Humility is an Indispensable Requirement for a Servant. Humility is an indispensable requirement for a servant. And for the sake of time, I'd like to get right into it. If you could turn to Yochanan Mark 7:22, that's on page 767. In fact, we're going to get a few scriptures in our hands so that we can look at them quickly. So it'll be page 767 first. Page 767. And also page 584. Go back a little bit there. And then lastly, page 491. The first one we're going to look at is in Yochanan Mark. And this is to dispel something that many of us might have encountered up until now, and coming across the concept of humility and everything having to do with pride. Because if we aren't careful, that there could be a lingering thought like pride isn't such a bad thing at all, right? So Yahshua Messiah, in speaking about this subject, at first he was speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees with regard to it. Before it was over with, he realized that his students also needed a little bit of edifying with regard to the subject as well. And so it's starting, let's start at
Let's start at 18. But he said to them, are you also without understanding? And he's speaking to his disciples here. Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Now, skipping down to 21, he says, for from within, out of the heart of man, from his mind, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, and you can read the rest of them, murders, thefts, lust, wickedness, deceit, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, that's what I'm looking to get to there, and foolishness. And all these evil things come from within. So pride there, we see, is an evil thing, evil like the gods. Genesis 3:5, pride is God worship, regardless of what we might have thought coming into the situation, being called into Father Yahweh's house, no matter how useful that we might have thought it to be up until this point, pride is evil. Pride is evil. It's of the gods. And it prevents us from being humble. Right, so if we can also now look at Jeremiah 13:15, that was on page 584. It's 584.
I thought I had that in my hand.
Jeremiah 13:15. And bearing in mind what the apostles told us, and we're being built on that foundation, that any scripture given by Father Yahweh through inspiration of Father Yahweh is profitable for reproof and for instruction and for doctrine. It says right here in verse 15, don't be proud if you see it. Do not be proud. Do not be proud. Right, and bearing in mind what we just seen in Yahshua's teachings, of course, we know why. Because it's God worship. It's evil. Getting over to the last scripture we had on page 491, which is Psalms 138, starting at verse 1, it says, we thank you with all our hearts to the face of every God, to the face of every God. We sing praises to you, our Heavenly Father. And if you ever look up that word praises, it's a real interesting study. But we, despite what the world may have to say, I can't tell you how many times I heard when I was growing up, if I asked somebody to do something for me, you ain't got no slave, you know, you do it yourself. You ain't got no slave, you don't have no maid. Despite what the world might have put in us, with regard to the concept of servitude, the way of Yahweh teaches us that we should be servants to one another. I will sing the praises of Father Yahweh in the face of every God. I don't care what they think about it. I'm not ashamed of the message. Okay, so now I tell you what my challenge has been. I only had a little bit of time. My challenge coming into this, because prior to this, once more, that idea is instilled in people falsely. People may have had great intentions, but there's an old saying about great intentions and the road that it paves, right? For people who were torn down, and then pride will be a means of building people up. No, self-respect is a means of building people up, and those two are completely separate, you know. But I understood that conceptually I understood that pride was bad, but I didn't understand it practically. And so that is to say, practice being a root word. What do I need to not practice in order that I wouldn't be prideful? And what things do I need to do in order that I wouldn't be prideful? I lack the practical understanding of pride, of what pride was. And the short solution for that is basically understanding language, right, which is communication, antonyms in particular. So getting to it quickly, this is my book. I've had it for years. I'm not letting it go. So it's kind of worn. How can I get it up there? We're trying to get the bottom. All right, so we're looking at arrogance. And you see that being proud, being arrogant, is simply not being humble. It's simply not being humble, okay? So whenever we run across something that says that we should do this in order to be humble, or we should do this in order to display humility. If we do not do that, then we are being prideful. That is an act of pride. I wanted to be able to get into page 21. Well, I may be able to get into a little bit of it. I'm running out of time quickly. But on page 21, one of them,
Let's get this one in before it's over. You can look at these. This is, I'm reading out of the Build a More Excellence, by the way. But it's speaking about humility. So this is something we can do to be humble. And so if we do not do this, like we seen just a moment ago, then that is an act of pride for us clearly. And if we do that particular thing, we are building up pride within ourselves. We're becoming haughty. We're becoming arrogant. So humility. A humble person is willing to learn and accept correction. So if we ever put up any fight, if we are unwilling to learn, if we are unwilling to accept correction, that is an act of pride. That is an act of pride. And that's something we need to prevent from practicing, lest we become proud. All right? So, what I could have went a little bit deeper into it. Time didn't permit. Yahweh willing, there'll be other occasions. But the point of the matter is, and the gist is, humility is an indispensable requirement for being a servant. And it's important for us to walk humbly before Father Yahweh by being mindful of, become a student of the peaceful solution. Become a student of the peaceful solution. And when you run across everything that tells us what we need to do in order to be humble, it's important to internalize those things and be mindful to practice them so that we can become humble and be servants just like Father Yahweh, who's the greatest servant, just like Yahshua, and just like the in-person, living flesh example of servitude, which is the Last Days Anointed Witness, Yisrael Hawkins, our teacher. All right? So thank you for your time. And with that, I will turn it over to the great Khan, Shimon Hawkins.
Okay, you can be seated. I will be continuing in, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. And my topic, I'm going to cover patriotism. What it is, I'll have a prophetic word that I'll show you, but what made me think of it is, because when you're not being served, I think of the peaceful solution when it talked about a family level, then a local level, and then it goes national. So I really thought of just the big picture of it, and it reminded me of a poster that I saw, I think it's in the press room, but it's all of these gears, and it says, just because you're necessary, it doesn't mean you're important. And that resonated with me. I actually liked the saying. I think it was done in sarcasm, but I thought I actually valued the saying. Because that's kind of like the mindset that I wanted to make sure that I had developed within me, was it's great to be a part of something, but you don't always have to be the center of attention. When I came out of the world, I was involved in a lot of film. It reminded me of a film review that I saw one time, and the review said, the film was 2.5 hours long, and it said, when you're 2 hours into a movie and you still don't know who to root for, there's something wrong with that film. But what it was just kind of, it was the goal that the film had in mind that it was trying to get across to the audience. And I really appreciated that approach to it, because it wasn't, it didn't have a lot of self-serving ideas behind it. If you could go to page 558, Isaiah 44:3. We're addressed in that way. This talks about pastor and what will be done for those that he teaches and listen to his teaching. So Isaiah 44 and verse 3, it says, for I will pour out water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. So it doesn't really get individualized. It just says the body, you know, it's going to deal with the body, and those that are a part of it will receive that blessing. And again, for it made me think of patriotism, because I like to think of myself as a patriot, or at least try to be. If you can see that. That's a prophetic word brought out 10/11/2005. Okay, when I was raised, I think my patriotism was genetic, because I don't ever remember being taught it. But I remember my father, he loved his country. And it was just something that was always in my mind. He's the only man that I know, this is my birth father, but he's the only man that I know that volunteered for the Vietnam War. And everyone else I heard got drafted. And he volunteered. And he said the great thing that came with that is when you volunteered for Vietnam, you could pick how many years you wanted to serve. And everyone who got drafted had to serve 4. So it was kind of like if you loved doing something, you kind of got to pick what you wanted to do. Or at least, you know, you found the enjoyment in it. And if you did it grudgingly, you just did what you were told. And that was kind of like what I thought in regards to it. So he had this, I'll give you the definition, a true patriot is one who just stands up for moral and just laws. You know, it goes in to say that, you know, people that believe the scriptures are sometimes thought of as unpatriotic, but they are the most patriotic people there is. And if you look at the definition of a word nation, because usually when you think of service to a country, I'm going to read Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. This is on 950. We read of Abraham. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. By the faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was going. By the faith, he sojourned in a land of promise and in a strange country, because the world, Satan is the god of this world. So this is a strange country. He dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob and heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is Yahweh. So it's like it's not completely in front of us. We get called to the house of Yahweh, but we're learning what it is that is required of us. We're learning what it is, how we are to conduct ourselves. If you look at for the definition like of the United States of America, you'll hear a lot of people refer to America as a democracy. It's actually not a democracy. They try to say it's democratically run, but it's a republic, and a republic just means that it's ruled by law. Okay, so when you have that, Yahweh has laws. He has 613 laws that we are to live by. If the definition of the word patriotism, like if you look it up in a dictionary, it would be a quality of being patriotic, which is vigorous support for one's country. Now, country holds the same definition as kingdom. You know, the kingdom of Yahweh. Vigorous would mean strong, healthy, and full of energy. How it is that you should look towards your service to this body. Patriotism, they'll have three things that I get mentioned in regards to it would be your duty, honor, and your country. On page 525, if you read, it's Ecclesiastes 12:13, you can read what our duty is. 525. This is Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Reverence Yahweh by observing, keeping his laws, for this is the whole duty of man. Okay? Now, your honor would be Exodus 20 and verse 12, which would be honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that your days may be long upon the earth. And your country, Yochanan 18 and 36, Yeshua was asked if he was a king. And he responded with, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my people would fight for me." Now, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, it's on page 906. I'm going to quote some of these for time's sake. But it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Okay, it's not the way that man would fight, but are mighty in Yahweh for pulling down strongholds. Okay. The deciding factor for us is obedience. And with ending, I remember when I came to the house of Yahweh, I chose my name, and pastor asked me one time why I picked it, and I just said I looked in the book of Yahweh and I found my name, which is true, but it made me think of, like, this is embarrassing for me. It's like a curse and something that's okay at the same time. But when I read the name that I chose, it actually reminded me of a film that I had seen. Okay, and I'll tell you what the quote was that it made me remember. Two characters were talking to one another. One would be righteous, the other unrighteous. And the unrighteous one said, "I just want things to be the way they used to be when we were loved the most." And his response, the other character said, "Sometimes you just have to do what you're told." And that's how I chose my name. But with that, if you could all please stand. The great Khan Abadia.
Shalom. What does that say? I didn't hear you. Oh, so that's what you want me to speak on? I hear you. Let's begin. You may be seated, please. If you would, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 26. And whilst you're doing that, I want to tell you the purpose of my discourse this morning is to remind you or point out to you that whatever we do or say, we must be conscious of the signals we send out. That's in the house of Yahweh. So if you back up a little bit and we come into the house of Yahweh, this is what it says. If then you are risen with Messiah, seek those things which are from on high, where Messiah sits at the right hand of Yahweh. Set your understanding and will on the things from on high, not on the things on this earth. So you see our priorities now. Yeshua Messiah is up there. He's with Yahweh. But that's not all to it. He's working with the great teacher. And whilst he's working with the teacher, he is guiding us and showing us the direction we need to go. How not to set our minds on the things of the earth. Or of the system, the things that the system want to deviate our attention to. Look at the great teacher and what he is doing. Copy him and follow him. With that, turn back a little to page 919. And look at Ephesians 5, and we have some reading to do here, so I'll get right on to it. Verses 8 to 20. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light." Now keep in mind, Matitya says, "Let your light so shine." So you're talking about an example here. Walk as children of the light. Now, we know that the light represents the law, Yahweh's laws. "For the fruit of the light is namely all holiness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to Yahweh. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but instead expose them. Even though it is shameful to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, however, all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. For whatsoever made manifest is light. Therefore, speaking directly to us now, awake, you who sleep, It's time to get ourselves working. The whole duty of ourselves is to convert from this beastly system that we grew up into. Arise from this sin, this darkness, this debt, and Messiah will give you light. Now, keep in mind again, let your light, let your examples, the things that you're doing in the house of Yahweh to serve. I want to go a little further into that now. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. It's found on page 914. Galatians chapter 5, let's start with verse 13. For you were called into liberty, not freedom from the law, that is, not that type of liberty, brothers, sisters. Not liberty to be instruments of carnality, but through the love of Yahweh to, what's the word there? Serve one another. That's my point today. When we are serving, we need to know the signals we are sending out. Whether we encourage or whether we discourage. Whether we do it by force or we do it voluntarily. For truly, everything in the Lord through the plan of Yahweh has been accomplished through this. You will serve or love your neighbor as yourself. No time for selfishness. You see, with selfishness leads to self-righteousness. And there's no part of the kingdom in that. Whilst you're working with each other in the house of Yahweh, there's advice here. If you bite and devour one another, be careful that you are not consumed by each other. You know, when we have a conflict with each other and we argue with each other, we are trying to see who is right. I want to be the right one, not you. But if we discuss it, then we are trying to do the right thing. And that's the reason why we have counselors in the house of Yahweh. They work with you, and they are going to show you what's the right thing to do when a conflict arises. So, brethren, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, as you not, and you will not perform the lust of the flesh. I want to drop to verse 19. For the works of the flesh are obvious, and these are the things here: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness. Where did we learn that from? The beastly system. We were trained that way. But now, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, this here is really talking about the peaceful solution, character education, and the positive character traits. Long-suffering, patience, kindness, righteousness, and faith. These are the type of traits we need to have within us when we're dealing with each other, when we're serving each other. Because look at the one here, kindness. I want to ask you something. Is it easy to show kindness when someone is rude? Or someone has a challenging situation or a challenging attitude? No, it's not. But if you show kindness in that situation, and if you're able to do it voluntarily, you know what? It shows that you've worked in yourself a lot. You have personally tried to put on the character, this peaceful solution, character education in your life. Goes on to show that you need to have meekness, temperance, self-control. Such things are not against the law. And those who are the Messiahs have sacrificed the flesh, the carnal mind, with its passion and lust. That's why we're here, brothers and sisters, to overcome. To become the type of people that when you serve each other, you encourage them and not discourage them. That is showing the type of attitude you will have and develop. You know, the one said that your attitude determines how high you will go or the altitude you will reach. Let's work to what Yahshua Messiah, the apostle, was saying here. Set your affections, your whatever it is you want, your value system on the things from on high. Where the inspiration comes from Yahshua Messiah, comes through our teacher, we need to value such things. Value it so much that you leave the selfishness out and become so very selfless. That you look to your brother, as Shaul says, esteem your brother or your sister more highly than yourself. Can we reach that point? Yes, we can. We can reach that point. And when we reach that point, we won't have conflicts. The house of Yahweh will move forward. It is once said that to join the team that has the same course. We are not pulling against each other. We are moving forward. And with that, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Just a few verses down, and look at verses 9 and 10. It said, let us not grow weary of doing righteous things. No, we don't want conflicts. We want to serve each other in righteousness. For in due time we will reap, if we not faint, if we endure to the end. Endure to the end. Never giving up. You see, brethren, in the tests and trials that someone is going through, it's not just for them. You are going through that same test and trial because you have to respond appropriately. You have to know how to be and deal with someone so that you can encourage them. True? If you put on an attitude that puts more pressure on that person, what are you doing? You're driving them away. You're bringing on more force on them, more heartaches. So, in verse 10 it says, therefore, as the opportunity arises, let us do righteousness to what's the word? To all. Each one of us. Especially to the members of the family of the faith. Have you ever considered your brother or sister what he or she may be going through? How you can do to what, or what can you do to serve and help that person? If you don't know what to do, don't you have counselors that you can go and find out, find some interest to say, well, how can I help? Our brothers and sisters in the house of Yahweh should be the most important thing. You know why? We are family together. Verse 11. You see how large a letter I have written to you with all my hands? Now those who want to make a fair show, an outward appearance in the flesh, will try to force you to become a Yadai, but only so they will not be persecuted by suffering and death as a saint. For those who are Yadim are not keeping the law. However, they want you to become a Yadai so that they might boast in your flesh. Brethren, we are here not to be fake people. We are here to be true people. We are here to be a representative of the great teacher that is set before us. Our attitudes reflect on him. And we need to represent him in the world wherever we are, teaching righteousness. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your righteous works, which is the positive character traits of Yahweh. And if we look at my closing scripture, I want to conclude with this scripture, page 940, Titus chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. In all things, setting yourself as an example. What's the word again? Let your light so shine. For righteous works, in doctrines, incorruptible, gravity, sincerity. You know, if you look at the word gravity, it's 4, 5, 8, 7 in the Greek. And it means a person which shows reverence and respect, dignity, majesty, and sanctity, and sincerity. The world has taught us how to cover up. The world has taught us how to be fake and put on a fake personality. But in the house of Yahweh, you are taught to be a true brother, a true sister. Verse 8 says, you must also have sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you might be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. And if they do, they lie. That's the characteristics that Yahweh wants inside of us. That we are truthful. That we can stand and no one can point a finger truly and say, that is a bad person. But they can say, that person is the person that truly represents the house of Yahweh. With that, I turn you over and I present to you the great Kutan, Nathaniel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shalom, men of Yahweh and sisters and queens of Yahweh. You may all be seated. And I'd like to, the message that the great priest just brought really had the ability to derail everything that I wanted to bring, because there were some major points that he was focusing on. But I'll give you the title for my lesson in a bit, but I want to touch a few scriptures that go right along with what he was speaking on. If you go over to page 750 in your book of Yahweh. Okay, we're going to Matithiah chapter 22. Okay, Matithiah chapter 22. Now, of course, we know many times through Yahshua Messiah's time period here on earth, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Herodians, they wanted to come to him and try to bind him up in their words and try to test his knowledge in the way of Yahweh. But it's just like what the great priest mentioned, that if we have the wisdom of Yahweh, we have the understanding of Yahweh, none can stand against your works. Okay, your works will not have any blame to be able to be drawn upon to bring accusations against us. And they tried to bring accusations against Yahshua, our Messiah, by trying to stump him. If you'll go over to verse 36. Okay, go over to verse 36. We see here again that they tried to stump Yahshua, Messiah. Verse 36, it says, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? What is the greatest commandment in the law? Now consider the answer that Yahshua gave to them. Okay, and think about what we're exercising here at this feast, the focus that we have, which is to be a servant. Okay, that's the focus that we have. When you look out into the world, you'll see that term servant, which is synonymous with the term slave, has very bad connotations. As a matter of fact, it denotes weakness. Okay, it denotes vulnerability. You know, it denotes being oppressed. But what Yahweh is showing us is the servants are the ones who are the most powerful. Okay? The servants are the ones who have the power of Yahweh. Yahweh is the greatest servant. So in order for us to take on the name of Yahweh, to be righteous as Yahweh has chosen to be righteous, we have to do the same thing. We have to choose to be the servant that Yahweh is. And can anyone take away the power of Yahweh? Yahweh is the only source of what? In where? All of his creation. Okay? So this is what a servant is looking forward to, a true servant. Okay, but look at what they, you know, they tried to stump Yahshua. They tried to stump him. Okay, okay, okay. What's the greatest of the commandments? And Yahshua said to them, very plainly here in 37, he said unto them, you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart, soul, and might. Okay, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Now remember, they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? That's one. But he went further and answered two. Because he knew the minds of the people. You know, he knew in their minds, they might think to themselves, well, that's great. You know what? It's just me and you, Yahweh. It's just me and you, Yahweh. You know, I don't need anybody else. Everybody else making me upset. Nobody knows how to conduct themselves or whatever. It's just me and Yahweh. So Yahshua, knowing that in his mind, he said, you know what? Let me clear this up for these guys. Okay, I'm going to clear this up because look, I can already see it in them. They're like, oh, they walked away like, oh, man. Okay, so we just serve Yahweh. We don't have to worry about anybody else. He said, no, hold up before you leave. He said, this is the first of the commandments, but the second is just like it. He said, the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. You can't get away from it. The only way to serve Yahweh is to serve your brother and your sister. And then he went further to say to them, upon these two, I know you guys only asked for one, but upon these two, okay, hinge or hang or depend the laws and the prophecies. In other words, the whole laws and the prophets show us how to show true care, concern, and love for Yahweh by serving our brothers, our sisters, the children of the house of Yahweh. Okay, so praise Yahweh. It's such a beautiful thing. I mean, if we go over to First Yochanan, and again, this is not entirely what I wanted to focus on, but it's definitely worth addressing. We'll go over to First Yochanan, and this is what was learned from Yahshua Messiah's teachings. Okay, First Yochanan chapter 4 and verse 21. It says, we have this commandment. Okay, we have this commandment. This is the example that Yahshua showed when they tried to stump him. Would tell us what's the best commandment, what's the greatest of the commandments. This was the end result. It said, we have this commandment from him, from Yahweh, and that was taught to us through Yahshua Messiah. That he loves Yahweh, he who loves Yahweh must love his neighbor also. He can't have one without the other. Okay, we cannot have one without the other. So, our commission in this work in these last days, especially at this feast, is not to come here in order to be served. It's to come here in order to serve. Okay? Which is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, let's go into the lesson for today. The lesson for today is, my lesson for today is, mourn forever. I know it sounds like a grievous thing, but it's true. Mourn forever. Let's go over to page 730 in the book of Matithya. Mourn forever. We're going to go to verse 4. Okay, so Matithya chapter 5 and verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now this, blessed are those who mourn, does that mean that we have to be crying all the time, or sorrowful, sad, our head hung low? How do you serve your brother if you can't see him? Your head is hung low, you're not looking, you're only looking down at the ground, right? That's not actually what that term mourn denotes, okay? If you remember, Also in Ecclesiastes, it says it's better to be in the house of mourning than to be in the house of feasting. But it's Yahweh's law to feast. He also says that the law of Yahweh is not grievous. Mourning is grievous, isn't it? Well, if you'll bear with me a moment, I'll give you a few edifying points here. Okay, the word mourn in the Hebrew, in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, one of the definitions for the word mourn is the Hebrew word 1897, which is haga, the Hebrew word haga. That Hebrew word haga means to mourn, to murmur, to murmur with pleasure or anger. To murmur with pleasure or anger. This shows us that that term mourn, which is the word haga, has a positive connotation, not only a grievous connotation, but it also has a positive connotation. It goes forward to show that one who mourns, one who is haga, meditates, ponders, considers. You remember what Pastor showed us in Genesis 1:26, that to be made into the image and likeness of Yahweh is to think, consider, and use similitudes as Yahweh does. That definition goes further to show us that the first time that that definition was used in the scriptures, that particular word haga was used 25 times in the book of Yahweh. The first time that it was ever used is on page 178. If you'll turn over to page 178. And it's the book of Yahshua. Okay, the book of Yahshua. Yahshua chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. And it says here, "This book of the law must never be missing from your mouth, and you must meditate on it day and night." Okay? So that meditate on it, that term meditate in that scripture is the word, the Hebrew word mourn. Okay? Is the Hebrew word mourn. Haggah. You must meditate on it day and night. So should we be crying over Yahweh's law? But Yahweh's law is not grievous. What it means is that we should think, consider, and use the similitudes that are shown in the law in order to create the character of Yahweh in each and every one of us. Okay, it says, "For then your way will be blessed." What we have to understand is, yes, we must suffer. Yahshua said plainly, surely we must be tested. But suffering and mourning was never meant to be an eternal institution. And so this is why I titled the lesson, Mourn Forever. Because the issue that we want to have is, we want to be considerate forever. We want to be thoughtful forever. We want to ponder and glorify Yahweh forever. And that is to mourn. Okay? That is that aspect of mourning. Like, for instance, you ask yourself, now this is just on the physical aspect of mourning. When we come up on a situation that causes us grief, when we're crying, okay, specifically when you're crying, there's two questions that you ask yourself automatically. Your body asks these questions. How and why? Those two questions. Now, I would submit to you that Yahweh desires for us to continually be asking these questions, even in our joy. Okay? To be continually asking ourselves, okay, how can I serve? Why? What's the purpose for serving? Once you understand how and why, or if you reverse it, why should I serve? And after you get the answer, why? Well, the answer is to be like unto Yahweh. After you've received that answer, now the question is how? And this is part of mourning. Okay, this is part of mourning. So it's worth it to dwell in the house of the mourning. It is better to mourn, right? The mourning of pleasure, which comes through servitude. And I would like to also, if you would turn over to 1 Timothy on page 935, okay? 1 Timothy 935. Chapter 4 and verse 16. This is how we mourn to Yahweh every single day of our lives. This is how we mourn to Yahweh every single day. This is how, let me say it like this. This is how we haggah to Yahweh every single day of our lives. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Pay attention to yourself and to the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Praise Yahweh. If you'd all please stand. I'd like to turn the floor over to my beloved brother, the great Khan Koheleth Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I only have a few minutes to speak, and it's going to take me a minute to get comfortable, and then it's going to be time for me to leave by the time I'm actually ready to talk to you, so bear with me. I want you to remember everything that we've been learning in Yahweh's Great House. This is what pastors taught us. You know, we should be to the point that every time we hear something scriptural, we should be thinking about something else, just making these connections. Everything we hear, we should be connecting it to another scripture or something else that pastor said. And it's funny because I was back here a little while ago searching for a scripture. You know, this is an impromptu part right here, but I want to share this. So I was searching for a scripture, and I have some of the best minds in the house of Yahweh searching for it. I'm sorry I didn't ask y'all earlier because these are the best minds in the house of Yahweh. But I have people back here searching for this scripture, you know, concordances, the book of Yahweh, you know, Googling it. And it's like, I can't find that scripture. Where is it at? It's like, oh, you know, pastor said it. You know where we found it? Books of Israel. Okay, books of Israel. And it's like, but I could have swore I read that in Matithi or something. But it wasn't in there. But pastor said it. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want that to be in your mind because, you know, when pastor says something, you know, it's imprinted in our mind so much that you actually think that you've read it in the book of Yahweh. And everyone back here was like, I've seen it. And so up until a few minutes ago, there were men still searching for it behind the curtain. And we've already come to the conclusion it's not actually like written like the way we understand it. It's not written like that in the scripture. But it's like, no, it's in here somewhere. It's not. I'm sorry. Pastor said it, and I know how it's on your mind, but it's not in there like that. That's our understanding of it. Okay, because understanding comes from Yahweh. Okay, and pastor has given us this understanding that man doesn't have. Okay, and so for in our minds, it's like it's the word of Yahweh. But the mankind is not going to be able to explain it like that. That's the blessing that we have from the teacher that we have. Okay, praise Yahweh. So as we're going through, you know, this lesson here, you know, the purpose of my speech today is to get us to really start learning how to pay attention to Yahweh. Okay, we're learning how to pay attention to Yahweh because remember, Yeshub, when he was going through his tests and trials, Yeshub said, you know, it was either Yeshub or one of the men dealing with Yeshub, Eliyahu, said that Yahweh speaks to a man in one way, but he does not perceive it. You know, it could be in a dream, in a vision, but sometimes we just don't pay attention to Yahweh, and so we miss what Yahweh is saying or what Yahweh is trying to show us. And so we really need to start learning how to pay attention to Yahweh. Okay, so I want to start off by reading Genesis 1, verse 1. Okay, because this is how Yahweh operates. Okay, this is how Yahweh operates. In the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Okay, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, that's all you need to know right now. Okay, I created the heavens and the earth. That's all you need to know. I did all of this. You see the sun right there? I created that. Yeah, how does that work? You don't need to know that right now. Once you get through these stages and overcoming, then I can give you more knowledge. But right now, you don't need to know how the sun works. Okay. You don't need to know how the earth was suspended upon nothing. You don't need to know how I command the lightning or how I stop the waters and tell them to go no further. You don't need to know that right now. Meet with me on the Sabbath day and I will teach you how to live. But Yahweh, I want to know so much more. Well, you don't even know what to eat yet. You don't even know what to eat. Well, Chum, what can you eat? Oh, All right. So we got to meet with Yahweh on this Sabbath day so we can even learn what to eat before we learn how to control the heavens and the microorganisms. Okay. We don't even know how to conduct ourselves, have relationships with, you know, with our brethren, you know, with our family members. But yet we want to know how Yahweh works in everything that he does. Can't do it. Okay. Meet with Yahweh on the Sabbath days and learn what to eat. Okay, we're at the feast, okay? The words of Yahweh, and then we can eat the physical food afterwards, okay? It's all according to the plan of Yahweh. We can't jump right into knowing all. It doesn't work like that, okay? Or else we're going to be doing what we see everyone doing today, what is right in our own eyes. Okay, so coming to Yahweh's house and learning how to conduct ourselves. So as far as, you know, learning what to do, okay, there's a great example in this. There's a great example in the scriptures, you know, the Apostle Kepha, okay? This has been the topic for like several months with me and another great Kahan and some of the men that we talked to. The Apostle Kepha, he did great works in the way of Yahweh. Okay, here's a man that said, you know, in his writings later on, to be diligent, you know, to be vigilant, to be sober, because the adversary, you know, lurks around like a lion seeking to devour you, okay? This man wrote that. But he wasn't always like that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here in a second. He wasn't that man. He wasn't the man that, you know, in his last days, in his last hour said, you know, nail me upside down to a stake. You know, it took him a little while to get to that. And so I want to make a statement that I want you to really consider also. Okay. Cause this is where we're at. We're learning how to pay attention to Yahweh. Okay. And it's like a four-part statement. One, we don't know Satan. We think we know Yahweh. We're not paying attention to Yahweh, so we think that Yahweh is just like us. Okay, and those elements there, those are some of the elements that keep us from coming to perfection, because we think we know the adversary. We think we know all of her subtle, crafty ways to do things. And now, look, I know that's all Satan, but yet we still confess every week because we really don't know. Okay, we think we know Yahweh, so we end up falling into the traps of Satan. Okay, so you will see these things like in Kepha and some of the apostles and even in ourselves. This is why we need to learn how to pay attention to Yahweh. So I'm going to say it again. Okay. We don't know Satan. We think we know Yahweh. We're not paying attention to Yahweh. So we think that Yahweh is like us, but yet we still have so much further to go before we're exactly like Yahweh says we will be in Genesis 1:26. Okay. But before I move further, remember Philippians, I'll just quote it. In Philippians, it says that, you know, allow the work that Yahweh begun in us, it'll continue until we are perfect. That's not word for word, but you can go read it for yourself. But the gist of it is that Yahweh started a work in us. Now, if we allow Yahweh's words to continue to have his perfect work in us, then we will fulfill Genesis 1:26. And also what's in 1 Yochanan 3, where it says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Okay, and this is our commission, to continue to pay attention to Yahweh so we can become just like Yahweh. So I want to read to you in Matithia, okay? Because these were people, when Yeshua was walking the earth, Yeshua used to speak to people, but people weren't paying attention to Yeshua. They weren't paying attention to Yeshua. And so in Matithia chapter, let me see, I think it's chapter 20. Is it 20? I may have to quote it. Okay, so 23, Matthew chapter 23. Yeshua said in verse 25, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and plate, but inside they are full of extortions, unlawful compulsions, blackmail, and what's that? Incontinence, greed, unrestrained lack of contentment. You are blind Pharisees, for cleanse inside the cup and plate so that the outside of them may be cleaned also. So you got these people here and they're like, what is he, the son of Yahweh, talking about cups and plates? What is he talking about? Cups and dishes. You know, my wife do the dishes. I don't even do dishes. He talking about dishes. You know, not paying attention to the lessons. Like, look, I'm not talking about cups and plates, but look at your character. Look at what's inside of you. You know, this greed, these extortions, all of these things. You're supposed to be taking care of the needs of the people. You know, the ones of you who are in charge. Take care of the needs of the people, but yet, you know, you're oppressing them, okay? There's something that reminded me of something in Jeremiah, if I could find it really quick, Jeremiah chapter 2, speaking of these cups and plates, these containers, these vessels, which is the point, you know, because Yeshua is talking about learning how to, you know, be a vessel of honor, a vessel of glory, being a living container of living water, to be able to bring forth the word of Yahweh, these teachings, so that you can help someone else. Because this is what servitude is all about. You know, not coming so that, you know, you can be lifted up, but having what's necessary to help someone else. But these men in these positions were only out to help themselves. Okay, but not in Yahweh's house. This is why we're coming and we're learning how to serve. Okay, we're learning how to serve. I'm still flipping through pages. Okay, here it is. This is Yeremia chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for my people have committed two evils. Okay, two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have dug their own cisterns that crack and cannot hold water. So just like Yeshua was talking about cleansing the inside of the cup and plate, here Yahweh's talking about, you know, people digging cisterns. Is he worried about you digging a cistern? He said he's the fountain of living waters, but here's a cistern that's cracking. So what are we worried about? If we're not paying attention to Yahweh, we're worried about that blue water that they're drinking somewhere else, right? Man, that water blue, can you drink that? This isn't what Yahweh's talking about here. He's talking about making yourself ready to be of assistance to someone else. All of creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons and the daughters of Yahweh, for the children of Yahweh. Okay, but we're doing our own thing, and so we're cracked. We're not holding the teachings. Okay, this oil is leaking out. If we're not following or paying attention to Yahweh, if we're not listening to the teachings, then we're not going to be a solid container, solid vessel to be able to provide help for someone else. We won't even be able to help ourselves, let alone help someone else. And so with Kepha, with the apostle Kepha, you know, when you're thinking about his training here, let's see what Yeshua said about Kepha, you know, the man that Kepha ended up becoming here in Matithiah 17. In Matithiah 17, it's on page 744. And this is when Yeshua asked Kepha, you know, who am I? And Kepha said, you know, you're Yeshua the Messiah. You're the Messiah, the son of Yahweh. And this is when Yeshua said to him, you know, flesh and blood alone has not revealed this to you. Okay. But Yahweh has revealed this to your Father in heaven. And in verse 18, it says, and I also say to you who are Kepha, whose name means rock, that upon this rock, Yahweh unity, I will build this house, this family, the house of Yahweh. The gates of Sheol, the grave, will not prevail against it. And I will give you, and I will give the knowledge, the teachings of the law and the prophets of the kingdom of Yahweh to you. Okay, so this is what he said to Kepha. He said, look, when you, because you understand these things, because you're growing, I'm going to give you this information. And you remember in other areas, he said to Kepha, he said, now, go and feed my people. Go and feed the people. Go and, you know, when you are strengthened, when you are converted, go strengthen your brothers with this information that I strengthened you with. Okay, but this wasn't always Kepha. Remember, Kepha was the one that was like, you know, I need to wash your feet. You ain't washing my feet. No, you're not touching. No, but how far be it for you to wash my feet. But you have no part with me, Kepha. Oh, well, then my feet, my hands, my hair, you know. See, Kepha, you always go too far. Okay, you always go too far. No, just listen to what I'm telling you, Kepha. Pay attention to what I'm teaching you. Just your feet. Okay, Yeshua, okay, Yeshua, okay. Yeshua, why is this guy following us? Kepha, what difference do it make if I tell him to tarry all day long? Your concern is to follow me. Yeah, you're right, Yeshua. I don't know, Yeshua. I'm sorry, Yeshua. I'll get it. Okay, so Kepha got it from Yeshua. Okay, Yeshua was constantly getting after Kepha, but with love and concern. Okay, with love and concern. You know, Yeshua told him that the adversary, and this is a scripture that we were looking for, the adversary wants to rend you like a rag. Okay, has anyone read that scripture? No, you haven't, because it's not in the scriptures. But you believe you read it in the scriptures. Okay? It's not in the scriptures like that. Yeshua didn't say to Kepha directly, the adversary is looking to rend you like a rag. Search your books. It's not in there like that, but Pastor said it like that. It's in the books of Israel, which is scripture, but it's not written in the scriptures like that. And people are still laughing about that. It blew our minds. It's like, man, I could have swore I read that. Surely, look in Luke. No, I said, sift you like wheat. No, but I read that. I read it. Yeah, you read it in the books of Israel, but that's how imprinted in our mind it is. Okay, but the point is, you know, Yeshua said to Kepha, the adversary is after you. But here's Kepha in another part here. Let's read further down in chapter 17. Let's see here, verse. Let's see. because Yeshua was continuing to tell them about what was going to take place with him in his life and how he was going to be beaten and murdered on for the atonement of our sins. But verse 23 here, 17:23, verse 22. Then Kepha took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Yahweh forbid, teacher, this will not come to pass against you." But he turned and said to Kepha, "You get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not mindful of the things of Yahweh, but only for the things of men." Because this is how Yahshua used to talk to Kepha. Because Kepha had to go through certain stages of growth, just like we have to go through certain stages of growth. Well, what if someone told us, "Get behind me, Satan"? Are you talking to me like that? "I'll show you, I'll leave Yahweh's house. You'll never say that to me again." Really? Really? But if we endure this correction, this chastisement, Yahweh says he deals with his family, his sons, his daughters, with love. And if we don't receive that correction, then we're bastards. We don't have a father. So regardless of how the correction comes, praise Yahweh for the correction. Okay, praise Yahweh for the correction, because the correction will save our lives. Okay? And you see how Kepha did it. Kepha was like, "You know what? I'm not even worthy to be nailed right side up. Nail me upside down." That's the love that he had and the strength that he got from paying attention to Yahweh and his preachers. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, I'll turn the services over to the priest for closing prayer. Good job.